The authors of a new study predicting a dramatic change in Pacific tuna migration are urging regional leaders to be proactive. Published on Friday, the study by Conservation International and various technical agencies says tuna-dependent Pacific economies are facing a more serious threat from climate change-induced ocean warming than previously forecast. In this second of a multi-part series, I'm joined by a panel of experts from some of the collaborating organizations. Here they are again introducing themselves.
I'm happy to start. I'm Johan Bell. I'm the Senior Director for Tuna Fisheries at Conservation International.
I'm happy to go next. I'm Coral Pasisi. I'm the Senior Advisor to the Director General of SPC.
Hi, Karoi. My name is Simon Nicol. I am the Principal Fisheries Scientist at the Pacific Community and Team Leader for the Fisheries and Ecosystem Monitoring Program.
Hi, first day lover.
Hey, kia ora. Might as well jump in now. I'm Hugh Walton. I am the Chief Technical Advisor for the Oceanic Fisheries Management Project for the Pacific Island Forum Fisheries Agency.
Now, if you missed part one of this panel, head on over to our website, rnzi.com, click on Pacific Waves and check out our 31st July episode. And picking up from where we left off, Simon was explaining that the scientific modelling showed if global warming continues at the current rate, there will be a mass migration of tuna to the eastern Pacific by the year 2050, a whole five decades earlier than previously predicted.
So when we look at that, in terms of that biomass change that we can see, so in countries such as the Solomon Islands and PNG, that we're probably expecting declines in tuna abundance of around 20%, that also equate to kind of a loss in the order of catch of up to sort of a 30% decrease in the amount of catch that might occur in the EEZs of the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea, but even in places like Kiribati, that can be, we're also projecting losses in terms of, around 5% or loss in tuna biomass, which equates to about a 10% reduction in catch. One of the really important things of the modelling, though, was when we looked at the scenarios where we are able to achieve the targets of the Paris Agreement is that level of loss is significantly lower. And in most cases, we can look at that in terms of the change in catch is likely to be less than 5%, and the change in abundance in most cases probably less than 1%. So there's really quite a difference between us achieving or not achieving the Paris Agreement targets, or whether we do achieve those Paris Agreement targets. I think the other really important bit to highlight in this is that our early work was suggesting that a lot of these changes might become evident by 2100, but our new work is suggesting that these changes are already occurring now and will really manifest themselves by about 2050.
Hello, Peter, Simon. And yes, Hugh, if you can just expand on what this will mean in terms of cost.
Essentially, at the moment, island countries benefit from tuna fisheries by way of access fees to the tune of about $560 million a year. And that's come up from less than $200 million in 2010. So it's been quite a meteoric rise. And a lot of it has to do with the management system in place in the Perth Sound fishery and the Tropical Longlong fishery, which is the Vessel Day Scheme, whereby countries pay for access rights to economic zones of the Pacific Island countries on a per fishing day basis. And the value of those days has increased significantly in the past 10 years. The reality is that we're looking at, a potentially 20% reduction in income by 2050 to all the Pacific Island countries. And, there's a couple of grim reminders for us here. With the fish primarily then being located on the high seas, we have much greater issues in regard to monitoring, control, surveillance and managing illegal fishing on the high seas because they're less regulated, and it's something that we need to be very, very, very proactive in trying to resolve and mitigate from both in terms of the Paris Accord and in terms of our management of the high seas. Thanks very much.
Vinaka Hugh. We'll leave it there for now and come back again tomorrow to hear from more panelists. Next up is Coral Pasisi, Pacific Climate Change Advisor to the SPC, talking about the importance of having solid scientific data for climate negotiations like COP26 in Glasgow later this year.